Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio, creating waves of awareness over the airwaves, via the internet, and by friends telling friends they care. Working in unity to promote homeopathy around the globe. Every Thursday, join us for a personal tour of Vaccinations and Your Rights in the U.S., a show co-hosted by HWC founder and homeopath Debbie Brock and attorney at law Alan Phillips. We invite you to comment and call in to contribute your thoughts and questions.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. If you desire to speak to the host, please press 1 at any time, and the host will be notified that there is a caller in queue. Otherwise, please hold and you will be able to listen to the show.
Employees, whether they have anything to do with patients or not, to get flu vaccines, and not surprisingly, it turns out there's money connected to this. On one level, it's been tied to Medicare and Medicaid, so hospitals have to vaccinate 90% of their healthcare workers or they lose up to 2% of Medicaid and Medicare reimbursements. And hospitals tend to run tight profit margins. That's not something they have the luxury of debating. If there's money involved, I have found that the vast majority of people in the medical community will be all over it, regardless of whether it makes any sense medically or scientifically, and that turns out to be very much the case with the flu vaccine. But this story, and I'm sorry to say it's not an isolated instance, although this particular version was really disturbing to me this morning. You would think after hearing enough of these, you'd sort of become accustomed to it, but I never really do. Anyway, this particular woman, a healthcare worker, probably a nurse, being bullied by a doctor administrator about getting the vaccine and wanted to know if I would be able to help them. And sure, I'd be glad to help them, but it's not a 24-hour process. It'll take a few days to complete the whole process. She has a deadline coming up in a day or two. What can she do? Well, I'm going to give you the short version of the story, and if someone is actually in a similar situation, email me at attorney@vaccinerights.com, and we'll look at every situation individually, which ultimately you need to do in the legal arena. But bottom line is they need something in a day or two that's really going to take them a few days to get in terms of exercising proper legal exemption. How do they buy time with this? Well, the area of law that applies here, and this applies to healthcare workers, or really most employees anywhere in the country, the federal civil rights law says that if you have a religious belief or practice that interferes with your job, that you can request under this federal civil rights law that the employer accommodate your religious belief or practice, and they have to accommodate it unless it's going to cost them a bunch of money to do it, sort of make a long story short. And so hospitals around the country are offering religious exemptions for their employees. Now, the way that the hospitals are writing these policies, the vast majority of them violate federal civil rights law, sometimes in a number of different ways, and that's a whole separate topic to get into here. But all you have to do to secure your right as a starting point is to give notice to your employer that you have a belief or practice, a religious belief or practice that needs accommodating. I don't think hospitals are actually required under federal law to offer a religious exemption to their employees, and so it's sort of curious to me that most of them do. But if you request a religious exemption, then they have to accommodate you. And that's the first layer of many, many different parts and pieces to a complete legal analysis. But as a starting point, if you request the exemption, you request the language of the law, federal civil rights law refers to religious accommodation. But for purposes of vaccines, you can think of it as an exemption, and most hospitals refer to their policies as exemptions. You ask your employer for the exemption or for religious accommodation, that triggers their legal obligation to accommodate you, or in this instance, to to offer you the exemption. Now, it's not that straightforward in terms of how you approach this, and this is a difficult arena, but that's the first step. And in my experience, from what I hear over and over again from healthcare workers around the country, most people who approach this on their own are not successful. So sometimes exercising a vaccine exemption is real simple, but other times it's complicated, and this is a more complicated arena. So this is where one of those situations where I definitely recommend that you work with an attorney. But in any case, you can start the process by just asking for religious accommodation. So I instructed this woman to put together a real short letter just saying I'm requesting religious accommodation because of my religious objections to the flu vaccine. We'll work together on nailing down that ironclad, legally sound statement of beliefs later, but submit this first because that will establish your right. If they go ahead and fire you anyway, then without asking for more information first, they have violated your federal civil rights, and then you can go back and deal with that. And but if you don't establish your right before you get fired, once you're fired, you have no rights at that point, at least with respect to this approach to requesting an exemption. You properly request an exemption and they fire you, then they violated your federal civil rights, and you can bring in the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission or your attorney or different things you can do at that point. The doctor's response to this, the administrator's response to her attempting to hand the letter in is, we're not even going to take that. I know what the law is. You're going to get fired. This will never hold up in court, blah, blah, blah. What a crappy thing to do to an employee. You know, even if you, as a doctor who obviously know nothing about the law, but even if you want to pretend like you do, you don't bully your employee. You talk to them politely, professionally. You say something like, and in a very calm tone of voice, well, I don't know any law that allows you to do that, and my job is that I would have to fire you, you know, but if you want to submit something, submit it. You know, if you want to, you know, be honest and calm and neutral and professional, I don't have a problem with that. I have a big problem with the arrogance that seems to, it goes beyond arrogance, it's hubris that goes along with the letters MD after your name. Now, I'm not going to pick on every doctor, absolutely. I do a weekly radio show that I co-host with a medical doctor. He's a wonderful man, probably the most wonderful doctor I've ever met. But among a growing number of doctors who actually can think for themselves, who actually can behave professionally, who actually do recognize there are some serious problems with vaccine policy and law, but even if you disagree with somebody on it, you don't bully them. The professional bullying that goes on in the medical community, in the medical world with medical dollars, doctors, as far as I can tell, is much more the norm than it is some sort of occasional exception, as you would find in other professions. Now, I'm not saying they're the only one with bullies. I've certainly seen that in the legal profession, and I'm sure it exists to one degree or another anywhere. You know, people are varied, and being a bully is not what determines what your profession is. But, boy, it seems to have a very high and strong correlation to the letters MD after your name. And when I hear about doctors bullying parents, for example, had that with another client of mine, other side of the country from me, doctor, and this is not by any stretch an isolated example. This is one example of many, many instances of the same thing I hear from parents all over the country. It's usually pediatricians. You don't get your kid immunized, they just dismiss you from the practice. It's not just that they dismiss you. You know, they don't say to the parent, I'm really sorry, but the policy of our clinic is that we can't see patients who are unimmunized. We can't allow you in our practice. Now, it's wrong even if they're polite, and I'm happy to explain that in a little bit, but that's not the way it goes down. It goes down with a doctor talking sternly in a condescendingly way or even yelling at the parents, it comes across with this incredibly ignorant hubris of, I'm the doctor, I know, you know, I'm God, I know everything in the universe, and everything you think that disagrees with me is obviously because you're just some ignorant peon. And this is the attitude that they communicate with parents who dare to take a different point of view on something than them. A point of view, by the way, when it comes to vaccines, that the pediatricians themselves have never bothered to research. They're just going on what they've been told. And I don't necessarily blame doctors for not recognizing the politics that underlies their education and that pervades the medical publishing industry, that, you know, that they don't necessarily recognize that money is what drives the industry and not science. But there's only so long that the kind of insanity we have going on in the world today in this respect can go on, that we can just keep writing these people a free pass for being ignorant about their own profession and about the politics underlying their own profession. And I suspect it's greed and egos that keep them so ignorant about their own profession. Why is it? How is it that a doctor can stand in front of a parent and berate them about their views on vaccines when the doctors themselves have never even bothered to spend an hour on the internet looking stuff up, never gone to look at the information that talks about why many of the studies out there are flawed? Why is it that they just accept everything hook, line, and sinker and become such willing pawns and ultimately ignorant pawns for the pharmaceutical industry? Well, part of it is because if they rock the boat, they are going to get rocked back big time by the industry, by their peers. You know, everybody gets on board, and anybody who dares to, face the wrong way in the elevator, so to speak, is some terrible, awful person who's not conforming. We have an incredibly pervasive and strong and overpowering culture of conformity. This idea that if you don't conform, you're automatically wrong, you're automatically bad, you're going to be penalized and persecuted and attacked. And wow, you know, this is severely wrong. Everything in our world today, virtually everything that is widely accepted, truth or fact or appropriate, is probably something that at one time was radical, believed or supported by an individual or a small number of people. And there are many, many such radical individual minority views, and some small percentage of them will ultimately find their way into the mainstream and become mainstream. And that's, you know, our society is in a constant state of evolution in that respect. There's constant change, and yet somehow we keep this incredible culture of conformity in place, as though there isn't constant change, as though we now know reality, that's the end of the story, and thank God we don't have to look any further to see if there's anything more or different or new we can learn about it. And this conformity is held in place and largely created because it serves special interests and private interests. In the case of vaccines, of course, that's the pharmaceutical industry. Reality becomes, as if they wish, that vaccines are perfectly okay, they're safe, they're effective, everybody has to get as many of them as they can, and we have to create as many new ones as we can because there's, you know, infinite money to be earned here. And so if we're going to earn infinite money here, if we're going to keep earning more and more billions of dollars off of vaccines, then obviously we have to create the reality that they're perfectly fine and everybody needs to have every one we can make. And more importantly, to have that happen, they've got to have the quote-unquote experts and authorities believing that so that they can then help the industry push that belief onto the populace. And so doctors have to conform. If they don't conform, there's money at stake here, big money at stake, and human beings just happen to be at least enough of us, that where money's involved, everything else is secondary. So the bigger the money, though, the bigger the impact and effect of that reality. So it is difficult to be a nonconformist in the medical community because there is just incredible pressure to be a conformist. So kudos to those many, many wonderful doctors out there who are thinking for themselves, stepping out, talking about the truth. But to the 98% of the rest of you out there, 98-99% of the rest of you medical doctors, what is wrong with you? Why is it that you feel the need? Why are you so insecure that you feel like you have to bully your employees or bully your children's patients, your child patients' parents, or bully your patients? Shame on you. Shame on you. Be a grown-up for a change. Talk to these people who disagree with you in a professional and respectful tone. They are human beings. They've done their research that you haven't. They have earned your respect. They deserve your respect. And by God, you need to give it to them. Not that any doctors listening to this are going to hear this and follow my reprimand here, but this is the message somehow we need to get out to these people. And one way to do it, of course, is to talk with your wallet, take your business somewhere else. It's not quite that simple for employees who are bullied like that, but boy, I wish there were some simple way to bring this kind of immature bullying behavior out into the limelight so it can be seen for what it is. Because anybody who treats an employee like that or any pediatrician who treats a parent like that does not deserve to be employed in a position where there's the opportunity for them to do that. And it doesn't make sense medically at all. Let me tell you a little bit about what the problem with the flu vaccine is. Of course, the CDC and the hospital administrators are all crying a very different tune here, but let me tell you some of the information I have. I'll try to rattle some of this off quickly here. The Cochrane Collaboration, an independent international consortium of medical researchers. They're widely respected, by the way, in the mainstream medical world, but they're nonprofit and independent. They are not beholden to the pharmaceutical industry, so you might actually hear some objective truth from these folks, unlike what you hear in the medical publishing industry, where the pressure of profits and career advancement have got, and the arrogance and hubris that goes along with people in the medical community, they decide that, well, they're better than everybody else, so it's okay if they lie or cheat in their studies. Not that all of them do that, of course, but many studies do, and deliberately. Here's what the Cochrane Collaboration said in a 2010 review of the flu vaccine literature, looking at the literature pertaining to the success of flu vaccines in healthy adults. They started their review with the word warning in all capital letters. Reliable evidence on influenza vaccines is thin, but there's evidence of widespread manipulation of conclusions. Got to read that last part again. Evidence of widespread manipulation of conclusions. People lie in the medical publishing world in order to get the result they want. If you don't lie about how great flu vaccines are, if you tell the truth about how they actually don't work, you're not going to help the pharmaceutical industry sell flu shots, and you're not going to get a job in the industry if you happen to be a university researcher or somebody else who's looking to make the big bucks in the pharmaceutical world. You've got to play the game, and the game says you come up with the quote-unquote right answer, whether that's what the science says or not. Evidence of widespread manipulation of conclusions. They are not by any means the Cochrane Collaboration. Not by any means the only ones who have complained about this. We have people stepping right outside of the mainstream medical publishing industry itself complaining about the corruption in that industry. A Lancet study in 2011, says flu shots are only 60% effective. But I got to explain that figure. There was a wonderful, I wish I had the gentleman's name, I don't, a medical doctor who critiqued this study and pointed it out how it was profoundly misleading. And stay with me for a couple minutes because it's really not that complicated. Here's how they say flu shots are 60% effective. Okay, there's a non-vaccinated group and a vaccinated group. Okay, the non-vaccinated group, 97.3% of them didn't get the flu. So there's this little tiny piece at the top, 2.7%, in the non-vaccinated group. You got to picture this now, okay? I picture it as like a vertical column. 97.2% not of the non-vaccinated group did not get the flu. And then there's this little bitty 2.7% at the top of that column that got the flu. Okay, in the vaccinated group, that little tiny 2.7% at the top who got the flu, that decreased a little bit. It decreased down to something like 1.8%. It went from 2.7 down to 1.8. So that's a decrease in that little tiny part at the top that got the flu. So in the vaccinated population, according to this study, there were fewer people who got the flu. But they say 60% effective. That's how much that little part at the top in the non-vaccinated group, the 2.7%, that's the part that dropped about 60%. They actually rounded up to 60%, but let's give them the benefit of the doubt. That's where the 60% comes from. That's called the relative risk reduction. 2.7% of the non-vaccinated group got the flu. That shrank a little bit in the vaccinated group all the way down to 1.8%. Let's look at this from the other side, though, at what's called the actual risk reduction. 97.3% in the non-vaccinated population didn't get the flu. 98.8% in the vaccinated population didn't get the flu. So it was a little bit more. But that change is 1.5%. The actual risk reduction was 1.5%. That's how much you actually increase the protection, 1.5%. Not a whole heck of a lot. You know, it's a little bit, maybe not completely insignificant, but somewhat trivial, somewhat insignificant. That's the actual risk reduction, but that's too small of a number. If you're going to talk about flu vaccines and you want it to look good, you're going to take the 60% figure, that relative risk reduction, because that's what's going to make the vaccines look good, or as good as you can anyway, from that study. Crazy. In September, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, OSHA, said that they believe there's insufficient scientific evidence for the federal government to promote mandatory flu vaccination for healthcare professionals. November 2012, the International Journal of Family Medicine concluded the arguments for uniform healthcare worker flu vaccination are not supported by existing literature. This year, British Medical Journal article criticizing the strong push for influenza vaccines, not supported by the medical literature, fails to acknowledge serious vaccine risks. Contrary to wildly mistaken claims, only 16% of tested respiratory specimens are positive for influenza, and the severe adverse events are well documented internationally. We're being lied to about the flu vaccine, folks, and we're being lied to at a level that we're pressing this, making it mandatory for healthcare workers all over the country. And if you're not a healthcare worker, you can sigh, you can take a little sigh of relief, but only temporarily, because the Department of Health and Human Services, they have this agenda, what they call Healthy People 2020. Boy, that's a facade, that label. Anyway, Healthy People 2020, their goal, one of their goals is to vaccinate 90% of healthcare workers by 2020, although they're very definitely going to be, have been and are aiming at achieving that much sooner. They're trying to get it now. But they have a separate goal to vaccinate all U.S. employees with the flu vaccine, all U.S. employees. So if you're not a healthcare worker, good for you. You're not on the front lines, but you've got a target on your back too. So this is an arena where we do not have the luxury of saying, well, thank God it's only one vaccine, the flu vaccine, or thank God it's only healthcare workers, not me, if you happen to not be one. We're all targets. And the flu vaccine is just the start. I mean, you know, what's happening here is obvious when you think about it. You know, vaccines have been pushed on children for decades. They keep adding more and more vaccines. But, you know, the adverse events there are getting pretty widespread and severe, and there's a risk that the public is actually going to start catching on to that. So they need to expand to a different market. Well, what about the adult population? That's two or three times the size of the child population here, if not more. Boy, if we can open up that market, we can double, triple, quadruple our sales. And the last figure I heard a few weeks ago is that there are over 270 new vaccines, already waiting for approval from the FDA or in clinical trials, the last steps before they go to the FDA to get licensed, because vaccines have to be licensed by the FDA before they can be administered here in the U.S. So, serious time, serious situation. I'm out of time here to go farther on the pediatrician issue. I'll try to come back with that next week. We're going to go to break. We have a terrific guest coming on with us today, and my co-host, Debbie Brook, founder of Homeopathy World Community, right on the other side of break. You're listening to Vaccines and Your Rights in the U.S. This is Vaccine Rights Attorney Alan Phillips coming to you from the Vaccine Rights Studios in beautiful Asheville, North Carolina. We'll be back in just a little bit, folks, so please do stay with us.
Did you know most Americans know nothing or very little about the legal system? I am the Rose Colombo, longtime legal activist, legal coach, legal advocate, and the author of Fight Back Legal Abuse, Irwin Award winner, and also my latest political satire, Obamacare Dinosaurs, Rednecks, and Radicals, a political satire exposing the evil agendas of Obamacare and redistribution of wealth that leaves you with a thought-provoking ending. Will mankind survive, or will the U.S. natural-born citizen become extinct? It's available at Amazon.com. You can also visit my website at www.fightbacklegalabuse.com for more information. So order your copy today and empower yourself with knowledge before injustices come knocking on your back door unexpectedly.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing. Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait. There's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Get ready for the epic new documentary adventure ride of your life. Shade, the motion picture. A view into the globalist domain. And Bellas and Burma's film.
Nothing in this world works the way you think it does. Nothing. Governments do not operate the way you think they do. Banks do not do what you think they do. The police department is not here for what you think it is. Nothing in your world works the way you think it does.
We have had a lesson now. The new world government has been identified, and they thought they'd explode the world economy to bring in a worldwide police state, but instead, it's going to bring them down.
You have to stand up. Speak up, speak out.
Shade the Motion Picture. Order your copy of the DVD today at ShadeTheMotionPicture.com.
This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. Warriors, you are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Read about it in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign is a monthly 24-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about life during wartime in the age of Obama. Warriors, keep to date every month. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available at newsstands everywhere. This alert is for all you boppers out there in the big city, all you street people with an ear for the action. This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. This is Mercy. Mine will be the last voice you will ever hear. Don't be alarmed.
We're back with Vaccines and Your Rights in the U.S. This is Vaccine Rights Attorney Alan Phillips. Let me bring on first my co-host, Debbie Brock. Debbie, how are you doing today?
Here I am. We're ready to go.
Glad.
I'm checking out. You know, when you're on the social network scene, you're probably juggling about 3 to 5 different websites at the same time. And is it our time to be together now?
Well, glad to
my,
be.
My stream says it's 1:26.
Oh, okay. I've got.
I mean, not 1:26. It's Well, that we are into the show at 1:26.
Yeah. Never mind. That clock counts down backwards, so that means we're a little past the halfway mark here. We have Sherry Edwards with us today. And Sherry most graciously agreed to come back. We had her on a few weeks ago, and Sherry's work, and it's just fascinating. And Sherry and I actually met, decades ago originally in a completely different context, but have found our paths crossing again in recent months because of some common interest in the vaccine issue. And Sherry's work covers a scope much, much broader than just the vaccine issue, but she has found some very interesting information from a very unique perspective. And so she has, I think, an incredibly valuable contribution, well beyond the vaccine issue, but certainly within the vaccine issue as well. Sherry, welcome back. It's a pleasure to have you here.
It's great. I'm excited to be back. I have this great new project I think you guys can help with.
Oh, well, go ahead and jump right in if you'd like. Tell us about it.
We've been seeing some veterans, and we've already done a project with the Army on PTSD and recurrent acoustic blast to see what was there. I can see from their chart damage, vaccine damage, and all these folks coming back that are committing suicide in outrageous rates. I think they're predisposing these guys to some kind of damage, psychological damage that doesn't allow them to cope. And so as we look at these, we found 8 different issues that these guys come back with that is nutritional. And I think some of these vaccines, and some of them are even called military mystery vaccines. So I'm trying to decode all those and look at look at their relationships, because once we talk to the families, and we will train and give this software away to these military families who want to help their people. We'll set up a class for them. We'll give them the software, whatever we can do to help, and help them look at some of this nutrition and also look at any kind of protein brain damage. But boy, I think I can absolutely trace this back to these vaccines, sometimes 50 in a day that they give this captive audience. And there's some great articles. Are secret vaccinations killing soldiers? 2 flu vaccines given to troops this year. Vaccinations are a way of life in the Army. Deadly vaccines given to U.S. soldiers in 2009. I mean, some of these articles are just incredible, but I have not been able to break down the defenses of the government yet to make them give me a list so I could decode that. But I just think that would help so many people, not just the soldiers, but the families that have to endure the damage that the United States health people, government people, are just totally ignoring. And these people are ending up on the streets and in mental institutions because they don't know how to take care of them. We want to provide the tools to see if we can find a solution to this. So that's my excitement.
Wow. Well, that was quite a mouthful there. Sherry, I would like to take just a moment or two and take kind of a step back just for anyone who wasn't lucky enough to be listening to the show last time you were on, and let's talk a little bit about what vocal profiling is and so people understand what it is you're looking at and how you're getting information. Because what is so exciting to me about your work, I know there's a lot of people, and I'm not real well-versed in the area, but I know there's a lot of people who have done research with sound and healing, and I think that's a fascinating area, a topic of discussion and exploration. But as far as I know, the work that you're doing in the area of sound and the healthcare work with sound that you do is pretty unique. So with your permission, I want to take kind of a stab at it as my understanding as a layperson, and I'll be as concise as I can, but please tell me if I got this right and correct anything, of course, that's wrong, or fill in any gaps or add any pieces there you think would be helpful for people to know. So my understanding is, and I'm sure your work over the decades goes beyond this, but for purposes of this topic and discussion, you've discovered that in people's voices, the frequencies in people's voices that in our just normal speaking voice that we actually communicate in the level of the frequencies that come through in our speaking voice, we actually carry information about our physical and even mental and emotional state at the time that we're speaking. And what you've done is to develop software programs that you could take a voice sample, somebody will speak for, say, 30 seconds, you record that, and then you assess that in a purely scientific way, calculation, you break it down into what are the component frequencies in this voice sample, and then based on the frequency content of the sample, you're able to determine some pretty detailed information about people's physical, mental, emotional health or states or well-being, and I won't pretend to understand the scope of what kind of information is possible to get from that. But is that as far as I took it? Is that the basic idea?
That's great. If people would think of young men going through puberty and how their voice changes in response to hormones, their vocal cords actually change. So we've been able to look at not only hormone, puberty hormones, but genes and toxins and nutrition and muscles. And the proof is in the end result. If we can look at somebody and do their vocal print and, okay, it's this muscle in your back, and we can give them an antidote, and an antidote for any sound is like noise-canceling headphones. The sound goes in the earphones. It does something with it, and then you don't hear it in your actual ear because it canceled it out. So let's say somebody has low back pain, and the quadratus lumborum, which is an F sharp in their voice, tells us that. A very specific range of an F sharp will tell us that. We give people that antidote, just like a canceling headset, and that muscle relaxes, and the pain's not there anymore. And it comes from the vocal cords being controlled by the parasympathetic nerve bundle that goes directly to the brain that processes and keeps everything controlled and calm and balanced, and that recurrent laryngeal nerve is in that bundle, and it controls the vocal cords. We just broke the codes of what all that means.
Wow. So this is fascinating because the potential seems just incredibly broad here. So that, in other words, not only can you, by analyzing the frequencies, help to pinpoint a particular issue or maybe the cause or current state of something, but you can respond to that with some sort of, based on a frequency analysis, you can then, and I'm trying to choose proper language because I know you're not a medical doctor, so you're not allowed to diagnose and treat people, but in effect, you can assess the problem in some detail, apparently in some instances, and then you can respond to that with a counter frequency, so to speak, or some other. You can based on the assessment, you can determine a frequency you can give the person, maybe that they're deficient in, or in some other way or reason helps them. And I don't expect a frequency would replace a deficient vitamin, for example. Although, let me know if I'm wrong about that.
Yes,
but nevertheless,
can.
I'm sure it would be part of an important part. But am I wrong about that?
No, we can't replace elements, but we can certainly replace a vitamin, which is a combination of elements called a compound. We had a lady in this morning. She couldn't use her vitamin or calcium. And they were giving her lots of vitamin D, and that wasn't useful. When we did her evaluation, it was the vitamin D receptor that was closed. So no matter how much vitamin D they gave her, the receptor was closed. She wasn't going to use it. It was just going to accumulate. So she didn't have the vitamin D, so she couldn't use the calcium. So we were able to help conventional medicine find out what's going on. We are so far beyond conventional medicine in some ways, because we can look at the body as a whole. Your voice creates a math matrix, and we look at it, and if it says 2 and 2 is 17, we've got some trouble. We know, well, in that case, your hormones are in stress, your female hormones. But we can look at the frequencies of the voice. We can look at how far away the frequencies are from each other, the rhythm. We can look at the harmonics and the resonance. And just through 30 years of trial and error, we've been able to put all this together. So it's just almost instant. Within 20 minutes, we can tell people what's going on. And you mentioned that I'm not a medical doctor. What we're trying to do is give people the software with the proof and say, let's do it ourselves. Let's teach you to be self-responsible. So our goal is to help people get healthy and help them stay healthy so they never go on the government program of insurance. But really the bottom line is we want them to be able to trust what their body's trying to tell them, to trust their own ideas of what I want to do with my health. And we look at this homogeneous groups. We had another person in that had tinnitus, but they also had circulation issues, and their doctor said they weren't using magnesium. Well, tinnitus, that ringing in the ear, one of the commonalities to that is not enough potassium. Circulation of the body, not enough potassium. She also had something called transthyretin, and with these thousands of entries in these databases that we have done, through just trial and error here at the research center, we're able to compare people and see what's going on. But the best thing is that we want to teach people to do it for themselves.
This is just amazing. Well, that is a wonderful kind of quick overview for me personally, and I'm sure for listeners as well. Let's steer this back again now. You were talking about seeing issues come up in the military, and if I understood correctly, part of the difficulty here is if you don't even know what vaccines they've given. You know, there's this, I hesitate to use the word joke, but maybe for lack of a better word, this sort of joke in the civilian world where we talk about and laugh about sometimes about how if you're in the military, you're a guinea pig, you know, and
yeah.
You know, you don't own your body anymore once you, not that, I'm not sure you do in the civilian world either, the way vaccines are going, but even less so in the military world, once you step across the line into that arena, you are theirs to play with any way they want to play with you, and so there have been lots of research projects going on, whether formal or inadvertent, with members of the military, which is rather disturbing when you consider what the military is supposed to be for. Now, what it actually gets used for is a whole different question. But in terms of, you know, this is our nation's defense, it's not that I want to just sort of, you know, haphazardly experiment with any population, but, you know, why in particular one who's there to, to defend us should the need arise, not the people I want to have be chronically ill having mystery illnesses, and of course at great expense to taxpayers who are funding all of this, all of it that gets funded anyway. So what you're seeing, though, I mean, we do know some of the vaccines that they're getting, and I guess is it possible here that when you don't know what some of the vaccines are, that you eventually can figure out what they are?
Yes, by looking at a group of people. In the last group we ran through, we had 30 people that all had the same kind of PTSD and traumatic brain injury at the same time. But we've run through groups of Agent Orange. We've run through groups of people that were poisoned with uranium. So looking at these, we can take everybody's vocal print and then see what's alike. So in the cases that we did with Agent Orange, and that's a D note, and it really messed up their liver, and it messed up something called glutamate and their ability to send the proper signals to their muscles. And it was also associated with a hormone that caused some genetic distortions. So we went back and tried to detox the Agent Orange and help them use some of the nutrients in a better way. Now, the guys coming back from these wars that have happened in the last 10, 12 years, there's 8 consistencies. If people want to look at, there's so many things I want to share with people. Get a pencil and paper and write these down. Calcium, zinc, linoleic acid, and niacin. So calcium for healing, zinc for healing, linoleic acid to keep your heart rate doing what it needs to do, and niacin for circulation and anti-cholesterol and things like that. That's the first layer that we found, the most consistent layer. And that causes things like schizophrenia and bipolar disorder. Then we go to the second layer, B5, which is pantothenic acid, magnesium, choline, and progesterone. And if they have any of that layer, then that's where you get the deep, deep depression, where they just can't find their way out of it. And we have tried to help. We had a senator that was helping us fund this and get it together, and all we wanted to do was help train these families. He died, and so we're back at square one trying to get all of this put together again. He died of a heart attack. I wish we could have helped him. But think about how many soldiers are coming home and how many are committing suicide a day. I think the last count, more were dying of suicide after they got here than died in the war each day. That's pathetic.
Wow.
And nobody is helping them.
And I guess at least in part because they're not really sure how to. I mean, what, if I hear you correctly, you're suggesting that I love the word decode. I mean, it's not that it just seems to me like such a great word for what you're describing here. You're pulling information from the vocal print and decoding that and finding things that you may be able to find by other means, but probably things I would guess that a lot of times they're not even looking for because they don't recognize the connections that you can see looking at it from your perspective. Is that an accurate statement on my part?
Yes, when you begin to look at these nutrients as a whole and how the body uses them under stress, then it just comes to a place where the body gives up adrenaline. So they're so stressed out and need to repair that. I just clicked on my internet. U.S. soldier outnumber combat deaths in 2012. U.S. soldier suicides outnumber combat deaths in 2012.
Wow.
We have two of our practitioners who have a center in Georgia, and they're trying to work with, I can't remember what it's called, a VA hospital, that's it, to work with these folks. And it's tooth and nail trying to get these people health back to health. There's no help for them because they don't know how to help them. We do, and they won't accept us. So let's go to all of the families of these guys and let's train them and have them help. Let's go into this era of self-health for you and your family.
Well, boy, I mean, there's just mountains of thoughts just at that phrase, but it just rings so profoundly true to me to hear that and to have the opportunity for something that, in one sense, once it's now that you have spent the decades putting all the pieces together, so I'm not by any means trying to diminish the enormity of the task that you have taken on, discovered, spent your time on. But once you have done all of that and put it together, pretty easy for people to use on their own, isn't it? You want to talk a little bit about that?
Yes, and it's free.
So which makes it even easier.
Yes, they can go to our site right now, soundhealthoptions.com. And go to downloads. I'm trying to do it as I'm talking here. I want to see what is up and available. It looks like radiation exposure is up and available and countervailing the flu. We will put one up for PTSD. If people want to get in touch with us, and it's just my name, Sherry Edwards, S-H-A-R-R-Y, Edwards, at gmail.com, that's easy enough to remember, we will set up classes in their community or online classes for them, give them the textbooks that they can download on how to do this, and that's online under radiation exposure, under downloads. There's a textbook there. There's several other pieces of information. We'll just trade out the software of PTSD, and we'll teach them to do this. All we ask is they tell us what they found and how we can make our whole system better for us. Nobody is addressing this. That's my issue with it. I can't say nobody, but it's not being addressed as quick as I want it to. I guess I'm just absolutely impatient.
It's frustrating when you have something that you know works and it's hard to get people to hear. Why do you think it's so hard for people to hear you? I know you said something, I think it was the last time you were on with us, where you had gone to a hospital with information, you know, about your research, about how you could help people get well and get out of the hospital quicker, and very naively, I think it turned out, and I don't mean that in a negative way whatsoever. I consider myself to be the king of naivete. Frankly, I've had that come back to bite me all through my life. But very innocently and in good faith, you say, "Here, I have something to help you," and the response is, "We are not interested because that's not going to, you know, that would potentially reduce the value of our stock here if we don't have people staying here. You know, people aren't staying here as long. That's less money coming in." And
absolutely.
That's, I guess, part of the problem. Do you think it's the politics, the money, and so forth that creates a difficulty for people in any sort of established institutional type setting to be able to hear this? Or like even if they wanted to, it's like I can't, you know, the economics doesn't work, so I can't listen to you or I can't hear you. Because if we're successful, I say we, see, I've already taken this on, I love it so much. If you're successful in getting this into people at the individual home level, which I think is the most incredible idea in the world, and I'm just amazed that and so happy to hear that you're trying to give this away when you can and have done and continue to do, you know, I'm surprised, unless it has already happened, that somebody's not trying to come in and buy you out so they can keep anybody from getting it. But that would, I suppose, potentially have the ultimate end result that the institutions are afraid of happening, and that's the reason they don't want you to do it through them. It's going to happen anyway, isn't it? I mean, if we go to people directly, not that that's, of course, your intention. You're not trying to undermine institutional health, but by gosh, if you've got something that's really going to help people, it certainly doesn't make sense to withhold that because of somebody's fear of stock going down.
Well, I think there's a bigger problem with this. Yes, it's money, when we discovered the frequencies that would take away gout pain almost instantly, we took it to the podiatrist, the foot doctor. And they said, why would we want that? That would take away our money. And my education teaches me, the guy says, that you can't take away gout pain that quick or that fast. And so we proved it to him, and he still shut it off and wouldn't listen. So we have that wall of education that says this can't happen. On top of that, when we first started doing all of this, it was very labor-intensive. Now it's punch a few buttons, and people get their report and what they need to do with it. But I think the biggest thing why we can't get any headway in things like side effects and the stuff with the soldiers is if we proved through our software that those vaccinations cause these side effects and the Army should be responsible, they're going to have to take care of all of these people legally for the rest of their lives. They see that as a liability, so let's deny it all. Just like Agent Orange, they waited till enough of them died off from the exposure till they didn't have a whole lot left going on. But look at this side effect. Pfizer Pharmaceutical took our stuff about Parkinson's, how we can predict Parkinson's and how a lot of times Parkinson's really isn't Parkinson's, it's tetanus or some other shot or whatever they're giving them. They took that and ran with it and did one research project and then sold it off to some people in Cog State in Australia. And you look at GlaxoSmithKline, and right now they're putting a little grain of rice type of frequency generator in people and making changes. That's our stuff. And they're giving people frequencies for heel spurs. That's our stuff. And there's another one. Oh, AT&T is using bioacoustics so that you get in your car and your liver gives off a sound. And if it isn't the right sound, your car won't start. AT&T has said bioacoustics is the medicine of the future. UCLA, James Jimjewski, has said, if we could only figure out what these frequencies mean from the body, we could revolutionize medicine. And I'm going, hey, we're over here. We've been doing this for 30 years.
Oh, God.
But they won't pay attention. I am this frumpy little housewife in poverty, Appalachia, and they think that we can't possibly have anything legitimate. We did demonstrations to the National Institute of Health. Now, they did help us. But when we do it, people say this can't happen. And unless they see it happen, it happens to a family member, it takes away their pain. You know, people who come in here who have back pain, and we have emergency clients that come in here, and they can't hardly walk, and then they can walk out straight. And we had a guy who couldn't see it, macular degeneration. And people were helping him, and he walked out on his own. Those people believe because you can't argue with the results. But I can't tell people how this is happening. I think we're in training the brain. Just like music, you know, you start feeling the rhythm and you're moving to the music. I think we give the frequencies to the brain that it needs and let the brain feed back the body what it needs, and it heals itself. We've seen it again and again and again. Cases that the doctors can't figure out, cases of doctors who have things that they can't figure out on their own. So people can go to our YouTube and watch somebody who had MS that couldn't walk and now he's back being a doctor again. Or there is so much, people who had heart attacks and couldn't talk or walk, and they're up and back and running and working, and we can show the math of what's going on. We can look at Gardasil and all the vaccinations and show how that is absolutely tied with infertility. That's a biggie. Look at how the drug companies would lose money on that one. So I think it's legal. They don't want them, they don't want themselves to be responsible and have to take care of all these people they maimed and hurt. And then I think it's because they didn't discover it. It wasn't discovered here.
Wow. We've got to go to break, but this is just fascinating. We've got lots more to talk about in another half an hour to do that in. You're listening to Vaccines and Your Rights in the U.S., Vaccine Rights Attorney Alan Phillips, my co-host Debbie Bruck being a little quiet this first half hour, Debbie. I hope you'll chime in some more later, but we've been sort of dominating the airspace here, I guess. And special guest, Sherry Edwards, soundhealthoptions.com. We'll be back in just a little bit, folks. We got lots more to talk about. Sherry, this is fascinating. I can't wait to dive in the second half here. Stay
All
with
right.
us, folks. We'll be back in just a little bit.
Get ready for the epic new documentary adventure ride of your life. Shades, the motion picture. A view into the globalist domain. Annabella's and Burma's film.
Nothing in this world works the way you think it does. Nothing. Governments do not operate the way you think they do. Banks do not do what you think they do. The police department is not here for what you think it is. Nothing in your world works the way you think it does.
We've had a lesson now. The new world government has been identified, and they thought they'd explode the world economy to bring in a worldwide police state. But instead, it's going to bring them down.
You have to stand up. Speak up. Speak out.
See the motion picture. Order your copy of the DVD today at SheTheMotionPicture.com.
Hello everyone, Proof here again. I want to let you know about our brand new sponsor, Silver Leaf Tea. Now as you guys know that have listened to me for years, I am a tea aficionado. I have hundreds of different flavors and styles at my house, and Silver Leaf has exactly the kind of stuff that I look for. I love loose tea, great antioxidants. I just love the taste of it, and this Silver Leaf has black, they have green, they have white, they have organic. Great for hot tea and iced tea. Silver Leaf Tea, it's right on our website, freedomizerradio.com. And check it out and order it. Silver Leaf Tea. Hello again, Freedomist. Proof is here, and I want to talk to you about a brand new soda maker called SodaStream. Now, the Proof House has had SodaStream for about a year, and we love the thing. We use it quite often. With SodaStream, you can have fresh-made soda in seconds. One of the big things we like about it is that there's no high fructose corn syrup and no aspartame. There's over 60 flavors, or you can create your own. Not just sodas, they also have iced teas and energy drinks. Here at the Proof House, we make egg cream sodas all the time. Some other facts to consider here, there's no electricity, no more wasted bottles and cans, and the most important thing is that it tastes great. Keep in mind, too, this is a perfect family present for Christmas, or, hey, just surprise the family with something great. Also, for a limited time, there's free shipping, so go to freedomizerradio.com and look for the SodaStream link, and I hope you check out the product. That's SodaStream right on freedomizerradio.com.
I'm not a lab rat.
I'm not a lab rat.
My family is not a bunch of lab rats.
I am not a lab rat.
Thanks, but no thanks. 80% of the processed food in America has been genetically modified.
That's GMOs. That's GMOs.
You can't even tell what foods contain GMOs at the grocery store.
Because no GMO food labels are required. That makes us the guinea pigs.
Sounds like an experiment to me.
GMOs are scary.
It's up to you.
You're an adult. You can vote.
I can't vote because I'm a kid.
Vote yes. Vote yes. Please vote yes. Count the cookie.
Freedomizer, you have a voice.
How will you vote when initiatives are added to the ballot in your state?
Are we there? Hello. The sound has disappeared, so maybe we're back online. Hold on a second, please. One of these people are Alan.
Did you unmute?
Alan, are you there?
I am here.
Yes,
my computer
sir.
My computer did an automatic reboot, and I was unable to unmute
okay.
myself. So if you will kindly
cool.
unmute me and
you're
our guest
unmuted.
While I'm rebooting here.
We're all unmuted, and this has been fascinating and fabulous. I'm introducing myself to you, Sherry. This is Debbie Brooks, founder of Homeopathy World Community and Blog Talk Radio host and Health In live video show host every Monday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. And you are on the East Coast. Is that correct?
We are. Nice to meet you, Debbie.
very wonderful and complete information. I had a question about using the sound frequencies that you do. What is it enabling the body to utilize the important nutrients, vitamins, and minerals that we are giving it by through our drinks and our food? I would like to know like a little bit more. You listed off calcium, zinc, linoleic acid, niacin, B5, magnesium, choline, a whole bunch of different minerals that are necessary for life. And in homeopathy, Dr. Herbert Roberts, MD, and Dr. Hahnemann himself says that our gut is so important for enabling us to assimilate the important things in life. And when that is not working, then we fail to thrive and our immune system is not working properly. Can you address that?
Well, I could in several different ways. Correct me if I'm wrong here, but homeopathy works on the basis of frequency.
Absolutely.
And that's the same thing. That's the same thing that we're doing. We have,
yes.
Instead of taking the tincture of whatever and making a homeopathic remedy, we have found the frequency base of what that is. So across the room, across the air, wherever, we can provide the frequencies for people to kick in these things. If you look at some of Robert Becker's work and James Oshman's work, they say that each of the cells in the body, and each of the atoms, too, work in kind of a lock and a key, that the cell sends out a signal, I need this, I need this, but as a frequency, and then along comes that frequency and locks in, and that's how the body has this network of information going on. But we have created things, like aspartame is the same frequency as glutamate, of absolutely essential amino acid for the muscles. So by frequency, the body doesn't know the difference. But by homeopathy, they would, because they could tell the difference between aspartame and glutamine. So homeopathy has one up on us there. So one of the things...
We actually have gone further. Many people, like Peter Chappell, are doing what he calls PC remedies, which are completely sound. So you could do downloads of his sound therapies also, which are sound resonance. And we also have radionics, which is an attunement of the dial on an electrical frequency box. And also, that is another way to just put that frequency number into the dilution of the water or give it directly through, I guess, a pad into a person. It seems like they're all coming together, the use of frequency, sound, and light, and numerical values as patterns, digital patterns, and using the computer. There are so many ways, and as you said, the military are using it. Scientists all around the world are using it, but the information is not getting out like on mainstream media. We're not being told what's happening to us.
Well, everything goes to the brain as a frequency. The ear changes that mechanical energy to electromagnetic energy, sends it to the brain in a certain range, and the brain says, oh, I'm going to interpret that as auditory input, and the same with touching and smelling and seeing. It's all by way of frequencies, and each one of these healing modalities have found a way to deliver that frequency to the brain so the body can do its own healing. And I think we've really messed ourselves up, it's totally my opinion, with bad water, bad air, man-made electricity, bad food, GMO foods, irradiated foods. And the body just can't catch up. So it needs these extra frequencies to put the brain back into this optimal form and function. But there's enough sick people to go around, you know, and everybody needs their healing in the way that they accept it the most. But when you look at Avogadro's number, the number that's 1, 2, 4, 8, 6, or along the top, you know, double 100 times, and then down the side, 1.01, the lower right-hand side, that's the Avogadro's number and some of the numbers that they use for dilution. We've taken that same grid and put the frequencies of someone's voice on that grid, and then we can see where it doesn't make sense, where the math doesn't make sense. It's a difference for me in classical music that's very in tune with my genetic makeup and feels good, and then heavy metal is just not compatible with me at all. And you look at some of those notes, and this one doesn't have, the two notes together don't have anything to do with each other. But in classical music, this one plus this one is half of that one. And all of the classics that humans keep are the ones that are based on the musical codes of the DNA, because they recognize it as something very, very natural. And I think that's the same thing with homeopathy, that they recognize this very minute quantity of what their problem is, and the body says, oh, got to go after that. And it kicks it. So we're doing the same thing. We're doing the same thing. Only
It sounds terrific, and I think what I hear the two of you saying is that there is a, I'm going to interpret this, a growing movement to modalities based on different approaches, of course, but to the idea of frequency as a way of both assessing and applying some form of treatment to help the brain to do what it's already designed to do, and that is get us well and keep us well. And we just keep getting in our own way with environmental pollutions and various other kinds of insults and assaults to the body and mind, and circumstances happen and so forth. I guess that just goes along with being human, at least where humans are right now. But the good news is that we were probably designed all along to be able to, if not avoid these problems, to correct them when they occur. And this is just absolutely wonderful to hear the different ways of doing that. And it's, you know, this is happening, though, in a particular societal structure, in a particular political structure, that it's just, obviously, the way our society is set up is just not, does not lend itself to making quick changes to something that necessarily works better for whatever combination of reasons. You know, the money, the maybe people are afraid of new things, and so whatever combination of things it is. But I love the idea, Sherry, I want to get back. You were talking about having this out to people individually, and you certainly have gone to great lengths to try to make it as available as possible to people. And I want to make sure before we finish up the half an hour that you tell people again where they can find you and what kinds of things you have available, because I think people should be making every available effort to explore and test out and apply your research and your methods and your products if they've got something that they feel would be a candidate for that. And I suspect ultimately any kind of health problem could potentially have some beneficial application to from the work that you're doing, just as is probably true with homeopathy and some of the other frequency approaches. But I wanted to try and steer us back to vaccines a little bit here while we've got just a few more minutes with you, Sherry. And I wondered, have you looked at yet at autism or other potentially vaccine-related harm in children? Have you seen anything in that area by chance yet? Is that something you've looked at?
Absolutely. We've done over 300 kids, and we've looked at the connection between a DPT shot and autism and how it causes the body not to be able to utilize calcium. So these kids end up being very petite and their brains, their bones break easily. We've done other combinations with measles and began to look at the digestive system. So we have a whole program that we will lend to communities. It's called PREVAC. We look at pre-vaccination risk factors, and usually it's the biflavonoids that are under stress if they're going to be forced to get their kids vaccinations, or afterwards they could feed them the pumpkin and the squash so that the body can do something helpful instead of something harmful with these poisons they're sticking into us. But I wanted to say something about a comment about what you had just said. This is a very ancient technique. Have you ever been out in the wilderness or just someplace where your ears started ringing? They call that now an otoacoustic emission. And I used to say, there's a sound coming out of your ears. And people would say, oh, you know, that's just dumb. Don't talk about that. We think you're weird enough already. But if you look in the old literature, they call it a signature sound. And by listening to that signature sound, that can balance you every day and take you back to optimal form and function. And I think we forgot how to meditate, or we've got all of these sounds around us that we can no longer hear that sound. So two ways people can go back to this. You know, get in the bathtub and put your head under the water and listen to the water, and you'll be able to hear those high-pitched sounds. Don't make the water very deep because it'll put you in meditation. You'll astral out and do all kinds of fun things. But you could do it with a pillow. Put pillows up above, over each ear, and listen to the pillow, and then listen outside the room, and you'll find your ear focused to hear your own sound. And I think this was a very ancient form of healing, but I think it was so natural, just nobody wrote it down. They are now using these otoacoustic emissions for diagnostics of liver and pancreatic disease very early. And they started with guinea pigs, and now they have wires that they can stick in your ears and measure this. But we've done experiments. We can measure it just as well through the voice. I don't know what that strange noise is.
I'm not sure either. I think
like
we're
breaking china, maybe.
Something electrical. Well, please go on. It sounds like we lost it there. So,
well, there is an article on our site, or you can probably just look for it on the internet. If you can moan, you can tone. And it takes you back to this very ancient way of doing it. We're just putting it in a computer so people can begin to trust it. Because they see it in the computer and they see a printout, oh, got to trust the computer. But we're just making this modern. And our hope, finally, hopefully someday, is that people don't need us any longer at all. They can self-heal. But we're very willing to share the tools and options and solutions that we have. People just need to get in touch with us. And you asked me to give out the website, soundhealthoptions.com. And if people want to see this done, we have happy hour every Tuesday where we do people's vocal profiling right on air. And sometimes we give away computer programs and other things. And then we have another show called Vocal Profiling Live, where we take the voices of celebrities. Like this week we took all the astronauts to see if they were telling the truth about looking at UFOs. And so all that information we post on our site.
Wow. Well, I'm going to have to spend some more time at your site. I obviously haven't been there enough yet. This sounds fascinating. I love the idea there, and you really sort of implied it rather than coming right out and stating it, so I wanted to see if you'd elaborate briefly on that. Because you've mentioned this before, and it's fascinating, and if I understand correctly, in looking at a vocal profile, now, I assume that the information you're getting from a voice sample is, of course, relevant to that person at that point in time as they're speaking or the recording of that voice at that time. And so if somebody is talking about a particular topic, then contained in that vocal print, in that voice information, in those voice frequencies, somewhere in there would be information about whether or not they're being truthful in what they're saying. And this is a fascinating concept to me. One of the first things I think of as an attorney is, oh, we've got to have this for people talking on the stand, you know, so that somebody can give their testimony, and then somebody's recording that, runs it through a program, and a couple minutes later comes up with, you know, judge, here's how truthful they were being when they were talking for the last 5 minutes or whatever. What a fascinating sort of thing that would be, because my understanding is, and I don't do very much court practice at all anymore, and I've never done any criminal law practice, but my understanding is that while police departments, for example, may use lie detectors to sort of get an idea about what's going on, that they don't use lie detectors in court. It's just not considered to be reliable enough to be valid evidence. And yet there are agency and departments that will look lie detector information to help them make assessments and judgments about how they're going to proceed in different situations or cases, what have you. This might be something that would be a little more reliable.
Well, it's being done already from one of our people in Israel, and I'm going to tell some state secrets here. The government wants to break all of its contracts with Israel, so they came to us asking us if we could help them duplicate this and look at it. And we helped them look at Gaddafi's situation. We looked at Jerry Sandusky's situation. We even told them the word to concentrate on with Jerry Sandusky and said, yes, and he will be found guilty. We just looked at the shutdown and who was behind it, and we could tell from their vocal print that Nancy Pelosi and another group was behind pushing for the shutdown and what was going on. We just looked at the UFOs. I mean, there's so much on our site that people can look at it and see. We're just beginning to do something Obama then and now all through his presidency, because you can see the change toward egotism and my way or the highway kind of thing. He didn't start that way, but you can watch it through his vocal print. We've looked at Janet Napolitano. Are we all going to die because if we don't get flu shots? You know, and we can guide the people to say, that's a fib. That's not going to happen. So in protecting them and having them protect themselves through trusting what they see in the computer programs, but there's two different kinds. The one called Nano Voice, and that's ready for them, and sitting there with a textbook. And if they want the bigger textbook, just let us know. But it's nanovoice.org. It's on downloads. That's very topic specific. You know, am I getting along with this person? Is my kid lying to me? Who should I believe? What job should I get? That's sitting there. But if we want to look at their health, they can talk about their first car, and we can see their heart disease. So it doesn't matter what you're talking about when we look at frequency domain, but the other is time domain. So we try to supply enough for people to know themselves, to know other people, to be able to look at who's fibbing to them, and to monitor their health. We have one cancer absolute. There are three things that we look for in someone's voice when we know cancer is manifesting. Vitamin A goes too high, catalase goes too low, and that's an enzyme to clean your blood. But the biggest one is calcitonin. The calcitonin in the system organizes the use of calcium on a minute-to-minute level. And it's got the same frequency as a calcium as a cancer protein, I think it is, 5-HETE. So go back to James Jimjewski's work. The cells communicate on a level. It calls out for calcium because it's been traumatized, and along comes this 5-HETE cancer food. And because calcium is not available, the cancer food binds with the cell. Then you have the beginning of cancer. We have absolutes on Parkinson's. Do you really have Parkinson's? We're doing other ones on weight management, and there are so many that we're developing, five or six at a time now, just based on the doctors and organizations who work with us and want this. But absolutely, you can tell the truth. Go to NanoVoice, and if the note of D is in stress and not like the other notes, or if the note of E and A sharp does not match either by color or amount, the person is probably withholding information. But we've put up enough profiles and one whole section on liars that you can look at the profile and tell when someone's not telling the truth. But next step, Alan, what's going to happen when everybody's telling the truth? What kind of world are we going to have? What's going to happen to the legal system and marriages? And are we ready?
Well,
no.
It's going to be a radical change. That's about the most I can predict out of it. Beyond there, it's going to be real interesting. I think we would go through a period of tremendous chaos, but which would really be reorganization. And when we as a society, you know, I've heard people describe that this is what happens with individual children. There are certain points in early child development where the brain completely reorganizes, is how I've heard it described. And I can see that as kind of a metaphor that we as a society in some respects are quite infantile, and we need to go through one of these reorganizational stages, and perhaps the work that you're doing could help facilitate or trigger and facilitate that. But whatever it is, it may be very awkward and uncomfortable because it'll be radical change in that sense, but it will be a beautiful place when we get to the other side of it. And I, for one, am all for it. We've come this far. We're going in a really bad direction in some respects. Of course, we focus on the subject of vaccines on this show and talk about the serious problems with vaccines. But when people who are not telling the truth are shown to be doing so, and when people then see that there's no space or room or tolerance for mistruth anymore, they'll quit, and I suspect we'll find, and boy, I should bring you back to spend a whole hour on this idea. I suspect we'll find that a significant part of the current structure, and take that as broadly as you want to, in our society, in our politics, in our industries, and so forth, is built to one degree or another, in one part or another, on mistruth.
Yes.
It would be really interesting. That's why I think the telling the truth, from some point forward, telling only the truth would be such a radical change, because it will cause the fall down and necessitate the rebuilding of just about every major structure in our society, I suspect. So we'll have to see. We are out of time. I am very sorry to say this has been fascinating, Sherry. The time has flown by. We need to run to break again, and on the other side we'll be back with Debbie Brooke of Homeopathy World Community, talking to you about homeopathy today. But Sherry, thank you so much for being with us. Let's get together again on this. It's just fascinating. I suspect we've only scratched the surface, and I would love to dig deeper.
I would love to have her back. I would love to have you back, Sherry.
Let's talk about who's truthful in the vaccine industry.
That would be awesome.
I also have you know, a couple of comments just simply about forced truth, like truth serum and stuff like that. I think that there are times when saying, you know, a husband says to a wife that she's wearing her most beautiful outfit and it's not true. I mean, sometimes there are times when a person needs to hear something to encourage and motivate them and show that they love them, even though it may not be true that that's the best dress that she's ever wearing, you know. So I kind of want to finesse that about truth and lying and telling the truth, because there are times when we have to say something that is not absolutely true.
I'll bet there's a way to tease out of the vocal frequencies what's a good faith truth and what's a untruth and what's a bad faith untruth. Would I be
absolutely
right?
Absolutely, there is. We just say to the wife, "You look perfect."
Yeah, and what does that do?
It's perfect for this situation. I don't know if we're still on the air, but
yes, we are.
Yep, we are on the air.
A quick situation. I went with a friend to a job interview, and they called her in, and she got up and twirled around and said, "How do I look?" And she had a big run in her stocking. I said, "Just perfect." You know, I didn't want to tell her and ruin the interview. So I believe that everything happens for a reason, and God doesn't let things happen that aren't supposed to. So that run was supposed to be there. She got the job, and if I'd have said, "Oh, my God, you have a run. You can't go in."
Uh-huh.
It was perfect for her at the moment.
Okay.
Good example.
Great.
All right. Well, Sherry, we'll talk to you about getting you back on. You've got it there. It's unanimous from both of the co-hosts here. We want you back, and so if you're if you'd be willing to come back, we'd love to have you. And so we'll talk to you about that. You're listening to Vaccines and Your Rights in the U.S. with Vaccine Rights Attorney Alan Phillips, wonderful co-host Debbie Brooke, founder of Homeopathy World Community, and special guest. I'm trying to think of the right language, and I just can't find the words. It's so wonderful. Special guest Sherry Edwards from soundhealthoptions.com. That's the website, soundhealthoptions.com. We're going to go to a short break here, but we'll be right back. Stick around. Debbie Brooke of Homeopathy World Community coming back at you in just a couple of minutes here, folks, so don't go away.
When tyranny rears its ugly head, will you bow and serve, or will you stand and fight?
Hi, everybody. This is Barack Obama. You get this hunger.
Everybody here wants the pie. We want to grow the pie, and then we want to fight for the pie.
When freedom is threatened, will you turn a blind eye, or will you sound the alarm?
The private sector is doing fine.
Hey folks, this is The Mouth, host of The Last Voice for Liberty Network. Tune in Tuesday nights at 9 p.m. Pacific, 11 Central for your ultimate dose of liberty right here on FreedomizerRadio.com.
What? How's it going, Freedomizers? This is Ferdinand. Join me on the No Bull Zone every Monday night from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We talk about everything from local to national issues, how to be free, and even throw in some health talks. Call in to chat or suggest a topic. That's the No Bull Zone every Monday evening from 8 to 9 p.m. East Coast Time, only on Freedomizer Radio.
Hi, Freedomizers. I'm Lily Gonzalez, announcing my new show, Roaring for Healthcare with Tiger Lily. I was a registered nurse for many years, caring for patients from birth to death in 36 facilities across the nation, and I know firsthand just how utterly broken our healthcare system is. But now I'm free from nursing, so I'm able and thrilled to give you some juicy behind-the-scenes insights and advice to help you and your loved ones get the most from our healthcare system. Join me Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m. Pacific Time to roar about healthcare only on Freedomizer Radio.
This is Robbie Andrew here. Thanks for listening to Freedomizer Radio. Check out my new show, Robbie's World, every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. We will be discussing topics from civil liberties to current events, conspiracy theories, politics, philosophy, science, meditation, basically everything under the sun. Please listen and call in. Robbie's World, Tuesdays, 7 p.m., 4 p.m. Pacific, only on FreedomizerRadio.com.
Learn the vegan truth with MC Fructose.
Oh, yeah. MC Fructose in the house.
Tune in every Friday at 3 p.m. Pacific time to learn how you can improve your health, lose weight, and reverse disease by following a diet of fresh, raw, ripe, organic fruits and vegetables void of any animal products. We'll have interviews with pioneers, doctors, and athletes thriving on a low-fat vegan diet. This is The Vegan Truth.
If people ask the way you get your protein from, you can tell them all the food to eat contains some. Truth be told, we don't need that much, so excuse me while I eat my favorite fruit for lunch.
We're back. Debbie, take it away.
Hello, everyone out there. I'm so pleased that you're listening and tuning in to Blog Talk Radio, Freedomizer Radio, and Homeopathy World Community as well, simulcasting. And we have been discussing sound therapy, sound healing, and the need for making fine-tune adjustments. And think about using the word tuning, how we have to tune in to other people, to listen carefully to what they say so that we're making some sort of a communication. And that is the basis of life on Earth, sharing, communicating with others, and speaking so that we can be heard and be understood and just listening carefully. And when we feel like we're listened to, we feel good about ourselves. It's a matter of, yes, freedom of expression, and free to be who you are, and without being forced. So with all of these things around us in the world, with government agencies and the medical community, unfortunately, or big pharma, who are producing all of these products and toxins and changing our environment and our world, individuals have to step in, be responsible for self-healing, self-education, and learn the things that are available to us to create wholeness, to create health. And sound, music, therapy, singing, all of these things are part of the things that we can do. So she said, go into the woods, get into nature. That's another thing we could do. A walk barefoot, many people say. Get attuned to the earth and the vibration of the earth, to the magnetic field of the planet, to people who love to sit at the beach in the ocean or just out in the mountains and soak in the sun rays. These are all healing energies that come through the atmosphere or through the earth. It's not as if you have to inject something into the body in order to create a better, stronger immune system that is functioning completely and the way it is supposed to be working. So I wanted to mention about the use of sound therapy, such as singing bowls and the resonance of that type of therapy. There are many people out there from ancient times who use the bowls, the singing bowls, to create a vibration in the air where either individually or with a guide or with an entire group, they sit and they are soaking in the resonance of that particular singing bowl or a tuning fork that makes adjustment to the body. And this, we used to have a section on Homeopathy World Community where we were going to do a proving using singing bowls that never came to fruition, but perhaps someday in the future we will do that. And then we have, I mentioned, Peter Chappell has PC remedies, which are adjustments and resonances that are being used in many applications. Early in 2002, Peter Chappell was in Africa, in Ethiopia, seeing AIDS patients, and he found that in his clinic he was able to use resonance healing in a way that revitalized the immune system. He found it was a new form of healing, even though Sherry Edwards says she has been using her sound therapy for 30 years. So I think it's been out there and people have been using it for some time. We just haven't communicated or gotten together. Everyone has not recognized so many people are out there using sound therapy. And if you think about really ancient times, just choirs, religious people, monks, and all of these things are using tones in different kinds of sound to create a change in the body, to create a meditative state, to change a mind-brain frequency wave as when we are sleeping and healing during that period in time of our day. So Peter Chappell did clinical tests using and still ongoing with people all over Africa reliably recovering from AIDS using his system. And you can check out the Peter Chappell and Henry van der Zee books that are available. There's also emotional healing with homeopathy, treating the effects of trauma. And I did want to mention that a week or so ago, I had on the Health In show Renita Herman, is an expert dealing with veterans and PTSD, post-traumatic stress injury, brain concussions. This was not exactly mentioned. Yes, we do have the veterans who are experimental guinea pigs dealing with the number of vaccines that they have been given, but also mind explosions and other kind of great sounds that they have to, acoustic changes and explosions into their ears, and brain trauma. This also, can this be healed through homeopathy? And she's finding positive results using many of our remedies, things like arnica and aconite. And I found that frequencies dealing with arnica, they give a number. If you use a resonance box, you can use the number 1042, or arsenicum album is number 562. So you see it comes down to kind of a digital pattern, a musical frequency, or hertz, a megahertz. There's ones for for mold, which are inundating our corn, peanuts, and grain that produces aflatoxin. That is a number frequency, 1823. We have many other numbers for different kinds of aspergillus that are on our plants, things that are associated with infections on our bronchi and lungs, number 743. And I wonder if it's possible to simply meditate on a number. Would that help us in some way? And so we have books that produce and tell us what are the frequencies that you can use in these frequency boxes. Some of them call them TENS machines. Or I have a homeopathic box for tuning into frequencies. And you can find some of this information on YouTube as well. One of the things that I found was that there are ultrasound waves that can be purchased from homeopathic pharmacies that are used, and I am investigating how to find the megahertz as homeopathic remedies and where to get them. Just think about using Qigong and sound healing. They have been doing this for thousands of years. Movement and sound, the way that the tongue, the teeth, the gums, the mouth, the face is in a certain position to allow us to produce our own healing sounds. And so using this movement or stillness and producing these particular sounds can resonate with the different meridians, the different energy patterns, and the different organ systems in the body. There's tons of illustrations on websites and YouTube that you can follow along and learn this. Another thing that I learned was something about vibrational medicine. The physicists at Arizona State University say that they have developed a method to calculate the exact frequency that it would take to shake a virus to death. And so this was published in the Journal of Physical Review Letters. And I want to say that this idea of shaking is how we make and potentize and vibrate homeopathic remedies so that it creates a higher resonance, higher power, and healing energy. It is the shaking. And when you go to the Tibetan monks, they are doing shaking their body up and down, this trembling, tapping, pounding force that if you just take your palm, you can do it right now and make a fist in maybe your dominant hand and then have an open palm in your recessive hand and tap, 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 tap. Feel that pounding. And that is what we do when we put the bottles of liquid and the remedy into the bottle and potentize it. We tap it and we pound it. And what happens to the liquid? You see tons of little bubbles coming throughout the liquid. It's usually water, and potentially it has some a brandy or vodka or a preservative alcohol in there. And so we're changing the actual molecular structure, the atomic structure, the power of that water when we are tapping, when atoms bounce against each other. It's changing something. Because, you know, you think about fusion of an atom, nuclear power, it is the bouncing of these energies, the pounding of them, changing the structure, the electrons and the neutrons and the neutrinos and everything that's in there through the combination of and the merging of energies. So what happened is the physicist at Arizona State University found and discovered that when viruses are bombarded with laser pulses of the right frequency, they shake apart. So not only is it bringing things together, it is shaking things apart. And you can see how we're moving toward the radioactive elements when we talk about these occurrences in nature. This arises from an inherent characteristic of all objects called a resonant frequency, which is the frequency at which an object naturally vibrates. Resonant frequencies are the key to stringed instruments in which a string of a certain material, thickness, and length has a resonant frequency that produces a specific musical note. But resonant frequencies can also cause objects to shake so that uncontrollably that their stability is undermined, as when a wind shook the Tacoma Narrows Bridge at its resonant frequency in 1940, causing it to collapse. And you think about singers who sing at a particular frequency and they shatter the wine glass, and everybody has that image of what happens with sound energies. And you know, the military are using these sound energy frequencies to change things on the ground when they send pulses to places way underground, underneath the ground, and to buildings and all sorts of things that the military secretly are using as artillery or methods to weaken an opponent. Because the shell of a single virus can contain millions of atoms, it is difficult to calculate a given virus resonant frequency, except by trial and error. And you know, when we do, and when the scientists and the researchers create a vaccine every single year, it is by trial and error that they hopefully will create a strain that will match the next season's vaccine virus, virus itself. And, you know, it is not proof positive. It is not absolute. It is not scientifically clear that it will do anything for the people who get this vaccine against a flu, seasonal flu, because, again, it is trial and error as a precursor to the actual strain that has mutated and has developed for that season. So we don't know whether it is working or not. Absolutely. So in the current study that the physicists at Arizona State University did, the researchers successfully calculated the resonant frequency of a simple satellite tobacco necrosis virus. So they used a tobacco plant. The next step for the researchers was to determine if the same technique will work for other more complex viruses. Although practical applications are probably a long way off, and you know when they say that, they're talking about something like 10 or more years down the line, that vibrational antiviral treatments have a number of benefits over chemical approaches. And Sherry Edwards is one of the people out there who absolutely have knowledge of this and are utilizing it today, right now, without having to wait due to all of this scientific research. There are people who are getting better. First of all, while many antiviral drugs are very harsh on the body and have dangerous or debilitating side effects, and you know, antiviral drugs and the vaccines that we're using today are crude drugs mixed with so many different toxins and chemical components and adjuvants and stimulants and MSG and cellular structures and DNA from other animals. We are, you know, playing with fire here. We don't really, you know, the passion in my voice right now is coming alive. It just doesn't make any sense. We're living in an insane world that we are all guinea pigs, anybody who decides to take a vaccination, and yet they are being mandated for us throughout our society. And how can we stop it? It takes each of us as one individual to come together, go to Vaccine Rights, National Vaccine Rights to website to get together with other people and learn a little bit more about this issue. Of course, Freedomizer Radio listeners are already on top of this issue. Homeopathy World community members already know about this issue. This is a call to action to tell one more person who, a friend, a stranger, a neighbor, somebody in your congregation, somebody at your school, anyone out there who might listen, even somebody you might bump into in the grocery store or the library. So, while many antiviral drugs are very harsh on the body and have dangerous or debilitating side effects, the frequencies used to disrupt the viruses should have no effect on human or bacterial cells, which are much larger and consequently have significantly lower resonant frequencies. In addition, because a resonant frequency is an inherent characteristic of a virus makeup, researchers say it is unlikely that resistance to it could develop. And in the same way, resistance to homeopathy, to homeopathic remedies, is unlikely to develop. Therefore, the remedies, the same remedies that have been used over 200 years are still effective. In fact, the remedy kits from 200 years ago are still effective. It is simply a matter of pattern matching. If you have a resonance with a homeopathic remedy, your body will respond. It will be a catalyst for your own immune system to respond in a positive, healing way. Of course, always have an experienced professional homeopath who is guiding you to know how to manage what develops over time, to see the improvement, to make the adjustments to the frequency, to the potency of that particular remedy. I've been talking a long time. We have about 6 minutes left to the show, and I have been going on and on about this. I hope it has resonated with you. I hope something that you will probe further, that will interest you, that initiates some investigation on your part. Resonant frequencies are an inherent characteristic of a virus's makeup, and it is an inherent characteristic of discordance or harmony, creating harmonics that will heal us. People who are out there who are musicians know about harmonics, know how they work and how beautifully they sound to the ear, to the body, how the body itself can possibly vibrate with those harmonic resonances. Among the obstacles toward creating vibrational antiviral therapy is the fact that lasers have trouble penetrating the skin. This is something that these researchers are telling us, even though I do know that people, medical physicians, are using specific laser tools that touch the skin to effectively use, like an acupuncturist would, to unblock the knotty points, the meridians, to open them up and let the flow of energy go through those universal meridians in the body. So I'm not exactly sure why they say that lasers have trouble penetrating the skin, but I know that this is in use today. I have used it myself when I have gone for therapy from my healthcare practitioner at the hospital. Researchers have suggested that ultrasound could be used instead. So this is another form of energy waves. Perhaps even as a dialysis type of a machine that cycles the blood out of the body, irradiates it, and then cycles it back. So there's a lot of potential and creative ways to use these frequencies, and I think it's going to be the innovative wave of the future. And you know what? You think about it. This is the end of the antibiotic era. It is the end of many of the eras, and I pray and hope and envision the end of the injection vaccine era. Let us move forward into the era of sound frequency healing, and to use it for all of the positive good in the universe, and let us meditate on that for positive good. Because, you know, when you talk about the atomic era, the nuclear power era, initially it was supposed to be for good, and yet there are powers out there that have used energies for evil and not really for good. So everything is for positive. Everything could be used in a negative fashion. Let us put out our thoughts, intentions, resonances for using vibrational energy for the good of humankind. And I'm going to get off because I know that the next host for Blog Talk Radio, Freedomizer Radio, is ready to get on. And I want to thank you so much for listening. Send any comments and questions to homeopathyworldcommunity@gmail.com, Debbie Brock, and get in touch with Alan Phillips, my great, great friend and co-host, every Thursday at 1 p.m. on this show. Bye-bye.
Vaccines are required for students, employees, immigrants, military members, and international travel. Do you know how to legally avoid them? This is vaccine rights attorney and Freedomizer Radio host Alan Phillips. My vaccine exemption ebook can help you avoid the mistakes that have cost others their exemption rights. Get the authoritative guide to vaccine legal exemptions, an ebook available at freedomizerradio.com and vaccinerights.com.
Let freedom ring throughout the land.
Let freedom ring throughout the land. Let no one trade your soul for dollars, dirty hands. Demand the truth, transparency. For we must be the masters of our destiny. Let freedom ring.